I heard from Brother Silver the other night. He called up, Dr. Silver, and he said he'd be in late Saturday afternoon. Dr. Silver has been a doctor several times over, and he's got a lot of preaching in his life, a lot of Bible conference work, a very gifted and capable man. I'm sure you will enjoy hearing him. And he mentions, I probably mentioned, he's going to be emphasizing the Lord's Supper, but also be emphasizing the activities of the Holy Spirit and the life of a Christian, as well as he'll be giving the gospel. So he's a man of variety, and I'm sure you'll enjoy his meetings here with us. I understand that today a number are away, and they're having these homecomings. I guess they'll be eating a lot of ham and other meats like that, barbecue. Well, while they're enjoying that, I'll give you some bread from heaven. Now we turn over to John chapter 19. John chapter 19 and verse 30. John 19 and verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And Matthew tells us, he cried with a loud voice. And this cry, he says, "It is finished." That's in our language, one word in the Greek language, tetelestai. So he uttered one word in the Greek language. And that one word in the Greek language, you'll find several words in our language, which we'll take up later on. So we want to speak this morning on this cry, tetelestai, or the cry of victory. This is the sixth of the cry of the cross. There's one more to go. Lord willing, we'll take that up 2 weeks hence. The cries of the cross are very important. We think of the cry of lamentation when he said, "I thirst." Then the cry of desolation when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But here we have the cry of jubilation. It's the cry of victory. It is finished. And what a cry that was. An ocean of truth in one word, tetelestai. And you think of the Lord Jesus, how he spoke to the Father on that first cry, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." Then he spoke to the thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Then he spoke to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then he spoke to John, "John, behold thy mother." And so he speaks there to individuals. But on this occasion, he's speaking to the universe. When he said, "It is finished," he was speaking to the universe. Everyone. Not only individuals, but he was speaking to everyone, "It is finished." We don't realize the importance and the power of that one word, tetelestai, and that one word will echo throughout eternity. He's finished the work, and what a work it was. And he says it is finished. Did he refer to his suffering? That could be. He suffered much, the agonies, the torture, the pain of the cross. When he said, "It is finished," yes, his sufferings were over. He'll never suffer again. Man will never spit in his face. Man will never lash him with that lash, with pieces of steel to tear the flesh from his back. It is finished. No more suffering. How wonderful. But he's referring mostly to his work. Yes, When he said it is finished, it was a relief from suffering and pain. But when he said that word, it meant it was a great achievement. He finished the work that the Father gave him to do. And as a mighty conqueror, he flung the cup away in triumph. He drank it to its last dark dreg. He won the victory. It's finished. He exhausted death's last thing. How remarkable to think of the Lord Jesus and the importance of that one word, tetelestai. It's finished. If he never suffered for more sins before, or he'll never suffer for them again. He suffered for your sins once, and only once. For Jesus Christ is not going to suffer for sins again. He will never be crucified again. No sins will be imputed to him again. Once and once only did Jesus Christ suffer for sin, and if he didn't suffer for your sins 1900 years ago, he will never suffer for your sins. 1 Peter 3:18 tells us, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, he the just, for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And so if ever your sins were suffered for and punished, it was 1900 years ago when Jesus Christ suffered on that cross, and he ended that suffering when he said, it is finished. It's all over as far as sin is concerned. No more suffering for sins. No more sins. That's a remarkable thing. No more suffering for sins. All the suffering for sin that God required was accomplished at Calvary when Jesus Christ suffered those 3 long dark hours. Yes, he finished the work the Father gave him to do. No more suffering. Jesus Christ is not going back to the cross. He'll never taste the bitterness of pain again. It's finished. No more remembrance of sin. Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. That's an amazing thing. God will never, no never, remember any of my sins if I have accepted Jesus Christ. The efficacy of his precious blood has put all my sins away. And God says that. Your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. He didn't forget your sins. The word forget speaks of human frailty. We forget lots of things. Things we'd like to forget. We'd like things never to return to our memory. But God doesn't forget anything. He does more than that. He creates an act of oblivion. He blots it out, never to return to his mind again. That's the meaning. Your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. No man, no woman can create an act of oblivion. But God did. And as far as my sins are concerned, God will never remember them. They're gone. Never to return. And that's what your Bible says. No more sins. No more memory of my sins. Isn't it strange we're so weak? We think of these things. We ask God a half a dozen times a day to forgive us for something. When the first time you asked him, he forgave it. That's the end of it. And here we are, poor human beings. So often remembering things we'd like to forget forever. God has forgotten them. If God has forgotten them, why don't I forget them? He's more than forgotten them, he's blotted them out. How remarkable that is. No more offering for sin. No more sacrifice for sin. You find that over in Hebrews. The Jewish altars cried more, more, more. When you think of the Jewish altars and the sacrifices that were offered, the birds, even sparrows, doves, and lambs, and sheep, and goats, and bullocks, a constant stream of sacrifices to the Jewish altars. And always, never satisfied, one sacrifice after another, more, 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 with the cry of Jewish altars. But at Calvary, there is no more. No more crying out for another sacrifice. One sacrifice and that forever. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ will never be duplicated. One sacrifice and that forever. The Bible tells us that plainly over in Hebrews. No more conscience of sin. Can you think of that? You find that in Hebrews 10:2. No more conscience of sin. No more guilt. It's been blotted out. It's been put away. Your sins and your iniquities are gone. If you're a Christian, born again, we poor, feeble people keep remembering things. When God says, I have blotted them out forever. No more conscience of sin. My conscience doesn't bother me when I think of things I've done. They've been blotted out by the precious blood of Christ. The Lord Jesus was challenged when he was on the cross to come down. Three times he was challenged to come down. And there were four things that they challenged him to come down for. They challenged him, if you're a king, come down from the cross. Second, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Third, if you can save, save yourself and save us. And if you say you're a builder, and he did, he said, destroy this temple, and I will build it in 3 days. They said, if you can do that, come down from the cross. They challenged him on those four points, as being a king, as being the Son of God, as being a savior and a builder. He was all that. But he didn't come down. He was doing a work upon that cross, and it was a great work. I think of what Nehemiah said. And Nehemiah was building the temple, if you want to read the book. And this is what he said to his enemies. He was having plenty of trouble from his enemies, Sanballat and Tobiah and others, trying to stop him from building that temple. He said, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? While I leave it and come down to you. That's what the Lord Jesus could say to his enemy. You're wanting me to come down, but I'm not going to do it. I'm doing a great work. I'll not come down. And he didn't come down till the last stroke of divine displeasure fell upon his blessed back. Not till the last drop of blood was shed to put away all sin, when everything was settled to God's satisfaction, he said, keep the list, the eye, finished. Everything's done. All my sins are gone. Peace with God. How remarkable the Lord Jesus Christ silenced all his enemies. Yes, tetelestai. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. Referring to not only his suffering, but his work. It is finished. No, he didn't say, I am, because he's not. Jesus Christ is still working. Not working at the cross. He's at God's right hand. He's there as our high priest. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And he liveth. I am he that liveth, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and of the keys of death and of hell. He didn't say, I'm finished. He's not. He's very active. He's at the right hand of God. He's got a lot yet to do. The book of Revelation is yet to be opened. And he's the one who will open it and break the seals and execute the contents of the book of the Revelation. That seven seal book that will be in the hands of God, as you read in Revelation. And the day is coming when the Lord Jesus will walk to the throne, and God will give him that book, and he will take that book, he'll break the seals, and he'll release the judgments that are coming upon the earth. They will be dark and dreadful days for this world. He didn't say, I'm finished. He's not. He still has a great work to do. But the work of redemption is the main thing we're interested in. He finished the work of redemption. He hasn't finished the work of punishing man for his sin, this world. For the book of Revelation is the book that tells of his coming and his judgment upon this wicked, ungodly world. Yes, I thank God the work of redemption is finished. But at the same time, he's not finished. He's got a work to do. He's doing it. I have to go to him every day. He's my advocate with the Father. He's my great high priest. He's my intercessor. And he is the one that is constantly active at God's right hand on behalf of his people. He is not finished. He's active. And he'll be executing the judgments on this earth, the man of war, in a day to come. How remarkable when he said, it is finished. Redemption's done. But there are other things to come. Tit Celestiae. It has five English words. And the first one is in Matthew 11:1. That is, make an end of. Make an end of what? When he said, Tetelestai, he made an end of sin. He made an end of guilt. He blotted out as a thick cloud all my transgressions. As far as the east is from the west, he put my transgressions from him. And all my sins are behind his back to be remembered no more. And also, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed my transgressions from me. And he's cast all my sins into the depth of the sea. These remarkable expressions are the translation of Tetelestai. A young fellow, only about 12 years of age, found Christ, and his mother was kind of anxious as to what this was that her boy had, for all he wanted to do was read the Bible. And she didn't know what was the church that he'd gone to, what they believed. So she talked to her with her husband about the boy always wanted to read the Bible. Well, we better slow him down. So when he started reading the Bible, she said, son, I want you to read something else beside the Bible. Here, read this geography. So the boy got the geography and he went in the front room and sat down. He wasn't there long until he said, praise the Lord. She come running in and said, what do you got there to praise the Lord about? Well, Ma, he said, I just read that the sea 7 miles deep. He said, my sins in the bottom of the sea. Praise the Lord. Yes. How wonderful to know my sins are gone. And they're gone forever. He's made an end of my sins. When I was a young fellow, about the age of 7, 8, or 9, in the Sunday school up in Stratford, Mr. Fuller, he was dean of the Stratford Collegiate Institute. He was superintendent of the Sunday school. I was in his class. And before they went to their rooms, they had a nice song service. And I was getting in on that every time. I suppose I would out shout the other fellows. I love to sing. And that's when I say I was around 7, 8, or 9. And there was a hymn I used to love to sing. And I wasn't a Christian. Even when I became a Christian at 19, I still loved that hymn. I happened to run across it. And here it is. I think it's in our hymn book. We ought to sing it more. Nothing either great or small, nothing sin or no. Jesus did it all, long, long ago. When he from his lofty throne stooped to do and die, everything was fully done. Hearken to his cry. Weary, working, burdened one, wherefore toil you so? Cease your doing, all was done, long, long ago. Till to Jesus' work you cling. By a simple faith, doing is a deadly thing. Doing ends in death. Cast your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him and him alone, gloriously complete. It is finished. Yes, indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? Yes, it was all finished when Jesus Christ on the cross 1900 years ago said, Tetelestai, it is finished. He made an end of all my sins. Then there's another one too you have in connection with these cries and the English meaning. And that is in Matthew 17. And there it means paid. Paid. Debt. Liberty. Redeem. Deliver. All that is covered by that one Greek word, tetelestai. I paid your debt. Your debt's all paid. You are at liberty. You are free. You're redeemed. How marvelous to know that as a Christian. Then the next one. Performed in Luke 2:39. Perform the utmost requirements of the law. Jesus Christ satisfied the law. He came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And Jesus Christ, he was the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. How remarkable. Everything as far as God's concerned is say satisfied. His demands have been met. His righteous requirements are settled. It all happened when Jesus Christ shouted on the cross, tetelestai. It's all performed. Then the next one, the fourth one, is accomplished. And I'm going to read the text to you. It's in Luke 8:31. Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Tetelestai, accomplished. Everything is done. Did you notice all things that are written in the prophets? There are four major prophets. There are 12 minor prophets. Everything they wrote and prophesied concerning the Lord Jesus was accomplished. Behold, it is written in the volume of the book, though I come to do thy will, O my God. Yes, he did. He accomplished all that was written concerning him. How wonderful to know that. God is absolutely satisfied. He said, I have finished the work the Father gave me to do. Not one iota was left. He accomplished it all. It is finished. You can't add to it. No possibility of adding to that. May this shout, and Jesus shouted this. With triumph he shouted this on the cross. There are other noises around Calvary, but the voice of the Son of God, he was weak undoubtedly because of the suffering he had gone through, but he had enough energy to make one loud cry. He to list the eye is finished. It's all done. The work is done. You can't add to it. I would that many, maybe someone here this morning, would hear this shout and be shaken by it. Because, friend, if you're not shaken by this shout, possible you're not a Christian at all. But this shout should waken and cause everyone to think, are my sins all gone? Am I absolutely accepted before God? Have all my sins been buried in the depths of the sea? Is there nothing for me to do? Is it all finished? Is it all accomplished? Is it all complete to God's satisfaction? If so, I'm saved, and I'm saved forever. My sins are gone. I stand before Almighty God accepted. I hope you think of that. And you know, when he uttered this cry, some remarkable things happened. And I'm going to read you some of those things that happened when Jesus Christ uttered this cry on the cross. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. That did not happen when he uttered the other cries. But when he uttered this cry, it is finished. All these things happened. Amazing, is it not? That must have shaken Caiaphas, the high priest, when the veil in the temple was rent. That huge veil, a long veil, heavy veil, it was rent from top to bottom. Not from the bottom to the top. From top to bottom is God coming out to man. And that veil hung between the holy place and the other part of the temple. And that's where the high priest passed when he was going into the presence of God. Caiaphas was the high priest. It must have jarred him to his heels when that veil was split from top to bottom. When Jesus said, it's finished, that's the end of Judaism's type of worship. It's all over as far as Judaism is concerned. And that must have jarred every Jew, those who were hating Jesus Christ, those who are clamoring for his death on the cross. It must have jarred every one of them when the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. I wonder if you know anything of what I'm talking about this morning. The end of Christianity or religion, if you want to use the word. A lot of people have a religion. Friend, I'm not talking about religion this morning. I'm talking about Christianity. Jesus Christ. He brought an end to religions when he said it is finished. The precious blood introduced Christianity. And only the precious blood of Christ can put away sin. All ritual is forever past. And poor Israel today, groping in the darkness, and they've got a rent veil to look at, with no priestly exercise of function. Christ brought an end to that at the cross. The veil was rent. Another thing, when you think about this veil, the rocks did rend. Yes, an earthquake. That's an unusual thing. An earthquake. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose. In that part of the world at that time, there were a lot of caves or sepulchres in the rocks. Joseph of Arimathea had one he loaned to the Lord. And there they were. They lived in that proximity. A lot of them had their caves, and there were saints in them. And the earthquake shook the rocks. Many bodies of the saints arose and came out to their graves. And notice this, after his resurrection. And that was still 3 days hence. They were awakened, but they didn't come out. The resurrection didn't take place. After his resurrection. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. What a scene that must have been of disorder, alarm, when Jesus Christ said, it is finished. And the rocks were rent. And the people came out of those rocks on the third day and went into the holy city. We know not who these saints were. Were they belonged to the Old Testament saints? We know not. We know they didn't belong to the church because Pentecost hadn't come yet. We know they didn't belong to the tribulation saints for the great tribulation hasn't come yet. We know not who they are, but they were saints. Maybe they were those who had believed on the Lord in his sojourn. And they accepted him. They were saints. And they could not go out to those tombs and make for the holy city till after his resurrection. Now that's what you've got in this passage. The grave, the resurrection, and those going to the holy city. What a scene, what a sight, when Jesus Christ uttered that loud cry, it is finished. The veil was rent. That's the end of Jewish ceremonial law. The quake, the earthquake, the rocks, and also remember again the resurrection. That's a very important thing, the resurrection. I know one thing. I'm going to take part in the first resurrection. Jesus Christ will be first. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. It must have been an ear-splitting, thunderous voice when he said, Tetelestai, when all this happened. An earthquake. And to think of what else happened. Not only was there the religious world shaken by the veil, the physical world was shaken by the earthquake. But there was a spiritual effect too. there are those who went into the holy city. But heavenly bodies were shaken, for the sun refused to shine, and darkness settled down upon the sea. And it was in the end of that darkness that he said, "It is finished." Not only so, Satan was jarred by that cry. We know not when it was that Satan was cast out of heaven when he revolted against God. It may have been a million years, it may have been less. But we know that Satan, the overshadowing cherub, because of his pride, he said, "I will enter into the temple of the Lord. I'll be like the Most High." God expelled him. He's roamed the heavens ever since with his following fallen stars. But never did Satan expect to see and experience what he did when Jesus Christ on that cross said, "Tetelestai, it's finished." That was the end of Satan, as far as his mighty power is concerned. Because his day is coming. The day is coming when he, with the false prophets and the other prophets, with Satan, are going to be cast into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. His work was done as far as what he had previously done. Satan, you're through. You're finished. God is a God of patience. But his day is coming, according to Revelation. That's what that shout meant. Satan and all his hordes, his evil and wicked, ungodly spirits, heard that cry. It's still ringing in their ears. Finish, Satan. Finish. Not only so, we can think of the ungodly world that was shaken. We can think of the rich world, as Jude speaks of them, they're going to be shaken, and they were, and still will be, the reverberation of that voice. How wonderful it was, a cry of triumph, a cry of victory. It is finished. It's all done. Every unsaved person should think about that cry. Have you been shaken by it? Have you been rocked by it? Are you trying to do your best you can to join the church to get to heaven? I hope this cry will shake you. I hope it will shatter your hopes of ever getting to heaven by your good life and your ordinances. Jesus Christ said, "It's finished." You can't add to it. You can't take from it. It's complete. It's done. Jesus did it all. And the fruits of that are forever. It'll never be forgotten. We know not what language will be used in heaven. Maybe Hebrew language. But I know one thing. There's one word that will echo forever down the corridors of heaven, and that is Tetelestai. Done. Finished. God is satisfied. Souls are saved. Satan's defeated. Victory is won. Upon a life I did not live, and upon a death I did not die, but upon his life and upon his death I stake my whole eternity. Not mine, his. Not my life, but his life. Not my death, but his death. That's what I'm resting on this morning. That's what gives me peace, joy, and satisfaction. Sede vestia. It's finished. It's done. God satisfied. And so am I. Can you say that this morning? I'm satisfied. Jesus did it. Did it all. Long, long ago. Are you willing to rest on that? Christ also hath once suffered for sins. He the just, for us the unjust, that we might be brought to God. Jesus Christ will never suffer a second time. He'll never die another death. Though it was all settled. Because of this poor, wicked, ungodly world, men and women today, even in the religious circle, they don't want to think of that. The meaning of titeresia, what is that? They're not interested in it. They don't even inquire. But that's the most important word could ever reach your ear and reach your heart. Jesus Christ, finished completely and forever the way to be saved and go to heaven. Are you willing to accept Jesus Christ this morning as your complete and perfect Savior? Roll all your sins upon Him. He bore them on the cross. He shed His precious atoning blood to put every stain of sin away. And as far as I'm concerned, and you too, if you're willing to accept Him, it's all settled. The book's clear. Everything that was written down that was wrong in my life has been erased. The page is pure, washed in the blood of Christ. I boast in nothing else save the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and His wonderful, enduring work of Calvary. Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him now? Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask thy blessing upon thy holy word. We thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ and the work he did at Calvary. How satisfied by thy work with thy Son. He did it well. He never needs to do it again. His sufferings are over. But his work in saving souls goes on, and he'll save this morning all who will put their trust in him. We trust that there are any here unsaved, they will come to the Lord Jesus, put their faith and trust in the work he did upon the cross, and be saved, eternally. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. Shall we sing in closing number 376? 376. Out to my bonded sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into my freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Will you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, who did it all? Long, long ago, shall we stand?